Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
This morning's message is entitled, we're in the series, The God of Miracles. This is session 11, entitled, An Ever-Present Helper. An Ever-Present Helper. Ooh, that's a good title. I mean, that one preaches by itself. I mean, that line right there communicates so much, but we're going to get into some specifics related to miracles and what can we expect, what can we hope for. I'm going to read us a couple of verses to get us started here in just a second, but here's my premise today for this session. Over the years of trying to press in to see God do miracles, and I've been trying to do that for, 20 years. Over the years of trying to press in to see God do miracles, I have been strengthened so many times by how God just showed up in my day-to-day. I mean, I'm grateful when he shows up in the really big moments, but most of life isn't really big moments. I mean, if we had to wait for a big moment, either a good moment or a big moment, deliverance in a bad moment, we would be kind of bored because those are not every 15 minutes. Most of life is just kind of the mundane. I have been so strengthened to see God show up in my day-to-day life and activities. And, all of life is filled with frustrations and setbacks. And to see God show up in those, the little ones. I'm grateful for when he shows up at the really big problem. Something epic happens, it's super bad, something expensive, a serious loss, and he comes and ministers. That's incredible. But it's no less incredible to see him show up in a day-to-day frustration, in a day-to-day setback and disappointment and difficulties. And so that's really what I want to talk to today. I want to talk about him being an ever-present helper. So Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present helper in trouble. I love the way that that reads. This is such a provoking thought. He's not just a helper in major difficulty. He's ever present. So when I'm experiencing a difficulty at a level 1, he's right there. Just like if I'm experiencing a difficulty at a level 10, he's ever present. And not only is he ever present, he's ever present in helper mode. He wants to help in trouble. This is who he is. It's not just like something that he's done on occasion. It's an aspect of his nature. This is the best, because I have trouble all the time. I have trouble and problems and trials and difficulties. I mean, they come at me all the time. It's so good to know that he's not selective. Like, no, I only show up when it's a level 7 and above. I am so grateful he is an ever-present helper. Ever-present. He's ever there helping. He's a helper. Jesus, I love you for this. Holy Spirit, thank you. Hebrews 4:16 says similarly, let us approach God's throne. Approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Both of these verses talk about us believing that God helps us when we're in trouble, or this verse says, time of need. It's the same idea. I actually like time of need maybe even better, because trouble makes it sound like car accident plus kind of a problem. But time of need, like, I'm a needy creature. Like, I got needs all over the place. I got emotional needs. I got physical needs. I got, hunger needs. I got all kinds of needs. And that we can approach God with confidence. And the confidence is this: when I get there, when I get to that throne and I approach him, I'm confident I can find grace to get help. This is so great. So if any of you are in need, if any of you are in trouble, if any of you have got some problem or 10, you can count on the fact that you can approach him with confidence, that he will give you grace to help you. So if you needed to know, what does that grace look like? The grace is tailored to whatever the need is. The grace is tailored to whatever the problem is. Because if I'm in a time of need and I ask God, I'm approaching him for, him to help me, and he helps me with something completely unrelated to what it is I need, that doesn't necessarily fix my problem. The Lord is willing to give us help related to our need. He is an ever-present helper. Guys, this is awesome. This is incredible. Related to the subject of miracles, I want to come at this from a couple of different angles today. And there might be more ways to approach it. I just needed a place to talk about this and in a context and some miracles that I've seen and that I know that the Lord can do. I want to talk today about miracles that help us avoid hassle. Miracles where hassle was going to happen. It was going to be a problem. It wasn't going to be like level 10 problem. Again, I think that's a different message, which is just as appropriate. I want to talk about level 1 problem and God's willingness to help us with level 1 problems. That's a fun one. If that's real, if God's really willing to get involved in level 1 hassle in our lives, problems, just inconveniences, and he's willing to get involved, that's super cool. I'm going to tell you that he is, and we'll do some stories. And the second is miracles that encourage us when we need it the most. The second aspect of this that I want to talk about related to him being a helper, an ever-present helper, is his willingness to send us encouragement in ways that it's clearly him doing it, that helps us when we're most in need. That's another huge benefit. And of course, all that stuff kind of blends together. So we're going to talk about not just the God who ministers when we're in huge despair, but when we're in a moment of inconvenience, when we're discouraged, when we just need a little help. I mean, it's not a level 10 problem because the normal part of life is not a level 10 problem. The normal part of life is level 1, 2, 3, and 4 hassles, and level 1, 2, 3, and 4 discouragements. And he is an ever-present helper. And so we're going to talk about that. I'm going to give a couple of verses that I recognize, for those of you who are scholars, I recognize both of these are in their most primary context. They're end-time passages, and they're in end-times context. But they're communicating aspects of who God is that's true all the time. So yes, these are end-times verses, but these are applicable to who God is, how God is, how God relates to us in any and every season, okay? So yes, I know these are end-times verses. Let's put up Luke 21:36. Luke 21:36 talks about our part and his part. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Always on the watch and pray that we could escape, that we could escape problems, we could escape hassles, that we could escape what's about to happen. Now, again, I know that's an end times passage, but it's communicating that God can help you escape a problem that's about to happen. That God can help cover you, that God can help get you through a problem, that God can help you avoid a hassle. And again, I'm downgrading the level 10 problem down to a level 1 because I want us to recognize how life applicable this teaching is. If you have to wait for the end times for God to be real, you're in trouble. Let's figure out how to apply God's word at a level 1 hassle, okay? Watch and pray, engage God, and he'll help you escape things that are about to happen, things that you don't want to have happen to you. Next verse, 2 Peter 2:9. Again, I know, another end times verse. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. He knows how to help us escape trials. He knows how to help us. He knows how to rescue us. So I'm going to share some stories today that, again, are level 1 escapes, level 1 rescue moments. But there's also level 10s. It's so applicable if he can help us in level 1 stuff because that's the majority of life, is the 1, 2s, and 3s. Okay? You guys kind of tracking with me? All right. I love this aspect about him, that he knows how to rescue us from trials. He has that capacity. He's a helper. He's willing. He likes to do it. That if we will watch and pray, he'll help us escape various things. Now, let's be fair, there's also times where he intentionally puts you in the fire. And he puts you in that problem. I'm not talking about those. You can't pray your way out of a situation God has destined you for. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the hassle that wasn't in the playbook that's coming against you because of the enemy, coming against you because you were not paying attention, coming against you because of somebody else doing something mean. I'm talking about all that stuff. There are plenty of times where God says, I also know how to put the godly in trials. And I want you in that trial in order for you to learn lessons. You can't pray your way out of that situation. But there's a lot of problems that happen that he's willing. Okay, next thought process. This is a blank check to me in relationship to the way that we can interact with God. This is a good Bible verse for everything related to miracles. I'm just talking about it today. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 talks about being able to operate in his power. Him operating that power on our behalf. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. This is crazy if it's true. The word every is in there twice. That's what's dangerous. I mean, there's some criteria, but it's still the word every two times. It says, we're praying that by his power, so not by your might, not by your wisdom, not by your abilities, we're praying that God would do supernatural stuff for you. We're praying God would do miracles. By his power, he would do two things. He would fulfill every good purpose that you have. Things that you want. That is a good purpose. So not every bad purpose. That's not what it says. And every act prompted by your faith. That he would fulfill by his power the things that you're doing in faith. The efforts that you're making in faith. To me, this is an incredible verse related to the faith-filled life, to the lifestyle of the believer. This is an incredible verse for us to hold on to and for us to know that this is the Apostle Paul praying for a whole church. Now, you just know in Thessalonica, there were some crazies. There were some good old boys. There were some people that knew the word. There were some folk that, you know, were kind of a little disconnected. They were on the fringe. This is Paul praying for all of them. And he says, I pray for all of you that God would release power in your life to fulfill the good purposes you have and the acts that you do that are faith-filled acts that you are working on. This, to me, gives us clear permission to be able to ask God for help in our life, for his involvement in our circumstances, for his moving on people's hearts and situations and all. Like, we can get him involved. And I think this verse is good for every kind of miracle. But we're just talking today, for the most part, about the realm of the Holy Spirit being a helper related to the difficulties of life, the hassles, the little low-level trials, as also the discouragements, time where we need his encouragement, where we need his touch. We can believe him that he would do this. He'll release power on those good initiatives. Let me give you just bottom line it. It is not an ungodly desire of your heart to be able to avoid hassle. That is not ungodly. Now, again, there are trials that you are destined for, and he wants those, and he won't let you out of those. But there are plenty of trials you could avoid. It is not an ungodly desire. It is a good purpose of yours to avoid that hassle, that trial, those difficulties. It's also not an ungodly desire for you to desire to be encouraged and uplifted as opposed to beat down and disheartened. That is not an ungodly desire. Those are godly things. He says he'll help you. Acts 9:31 talks about his willingness, his nature to encourage us. Friends, I want to tell you, if you walk around discouraged, there is a Holy Spirit who is a helper, who is an encourager. And he actually wants to encourage us, but it does require a little bit of our engagement. You know, think about that really encouraging friend that you have, that you know if you get around them, you're going to be encouraged. You're only going to get encouraged by them if you happen to be around them. I mean, if you happen to engage with them. So if they call you and you don't pick up, you don't get encouraged. You know, if they send you an encouraging text and you don't read it, if you don't meet with them in person and have the encouraging conversation, the fact that they're an encourager doesn't touch you. The fact that the Holy Spirit is an encourager doesn't mean we're going to be encouraged unless we engage in the dialogue. And so I want to encourage us, engage in the dialogue. This is what Acts 9:31 says. Acts 9:31, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. The whole church, a time of peace and strengthened. It was a season. It's not that way all the time, but they were enjoying a season of peace and strengthening, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And it increased in numbers. Encouraged by the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, in the midst of all of life and the difficulties, our God is an encourager. He is more than willing. He is able. He longs to encourage. And I can tell you, I'm a pretty happy person. I'm a pretty, like, you know, upbeat person. I still have very, very discouraging moments. Very discouraging days. Very discouraging fill in the blank. And I have found it to be infinitely helpful for me as a generally happy person to call on the God of encouragement to encourage the snot out of me. And he's done it on countless occasions. And I want to encourage you to start engaging the God who encourages when you need those moments, okay? I'm going to touch on another point real quick, just for a few minutes, because I think it's important that we get the context here of just how willing God is related to us being his children. Us being his children. He really likes us. I think it's important that we're reminded of this. These miracles, it's not us rubbing the genie God lamp and then something happens. It's all about relationship. And we've got to remember that the one that we're approaching, he chose us. He likes us. This was his idea. Not just it was his idea to bring us into relationship and to call us a son and a daughter. It was his idea to create the Bible with verses in it that say things like, I want to fulfill your every good intended purpose in your heart. That I want to do the things that are every act prompted by your faith. I want to support that. These were his ideas. The idea that he says, I want to encourage you. I'm a God of encouragement. This was his ideas, and he really likes us. So we're not asking him to do anything he doesn't want to do. I think sometimes we just walk around with so much like maybe numbed shame. Maybe it's not overt, like we're walking around totally mopey, but I think we walk around with a level of shame that's kind of like, well, I just deserve to be discouraged. Well, this problem, it's such a small problem, God wouldn't care about it. Listen, I got to tell you, as a dad, I care about my kids' little problems. I mean, they come and tell me about the stuff that's like the littlest stuff. And they don't have that filter that we've matured into of God wouldn't care, this is so little. They come and tell me about their boo-boo. Hey, boo-boo! Boo-boo! I'm like, isn't this the same one from yesterday? Uh-huh. Boo-boo! And I'm like, okay, you want me to kiss it? Uh-huh. And I kiss it. Like, God, I am not more compassionate and caring about my kids than God is. I promise you. At my best, I am not near as caring about the boo-boos as God is. God really, really cares. He's a father. John 1:12 tells us the truth about this, related to when we're discouraged, he cares. Related to when we've got problems in our life that we want to see God intervene on, he cares. John 1:12 says this, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If we have believed in his name, if we have come to him and we've received him, we're his child, we're his son or his daughter. He cares about your boo-boos more than any mom or dad cares about their kid's boo-boo or, you know, arm that gets stuck in some weird place. I mean, like, daddy cares. He cares. We need to remember we're children of God on a Tuesday when no one's around and we're sad. We're a child of God. And our Father cares. He really, really cares. I love to save my children hassle. If I can prevent them from having to go through a trial, I try. You know, whether a big one or a little one, I'm like, you know what? If you do that, it's probably going to turn out this way. You're going to be sad you did that. If you spend that money on that dumb thing, it's just going to break and you're going to hate it. It's like, I try to save them hassle where I can. God does this for us. He wants to help us. I also similarly love to encourage my kids. I love to exhort them. Especially when they're down. Like when I see one of my kids sad or whatever, it's just something in me. I want to immediately go and say things to them about who they are, about how I feel about them, about how awesome they are in these areas. Like when I see them sad, I want to encourage them. I am a terrible father by comparison to Jehovah God, the Father. Like I am so not near the Father that He is. He wants to encourage us. Look at Romans 15:5. And then we'll get into some stories, okay? Romans 15:5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. The God who gives endurance, that's strength to keep going through difficulty, and who also in those same difficulties gives encouragement. May the God who's the giver of encouragement, the encouraging God, give you what you need, give you encouragement and give you the right attitude, give you the strength, he is a giver of many things, including encouragement. We're his children. We can be encouraged. If you are discouraged, that didn't happen because of you. That happened because of circumstances and attack of the enemy, okay? God can get involved in the situation and bring encouragement into your discouraging situation. All right. Now, some of these stories, I'm just telling you, they're just weird, and I'm going to do my absolute best to give the PG version of a couple of these because they're just weird. Okay, so one time, Amy and I, we're on a vacation. I think we had JC. I don't remember if we had kids or not. Amy, text me. Did we have JC when we bought the Element? I don't know. I think we did. I think we had JC with us. We're on vacation. We were taking a family vacation, and we were going down to San Antonio, and we were going to spend a couple of days down there, and it was going to be great. We just needed time to get away, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we're on vacation, and on the way down to vacation, our car starts acting up like crazy. I mean, it's like, it's bad. We barely make it down there. The engine is having serious problems, and I'm on vacation going, we're not going to have any fun if the Lord doesn't break in and do something. Like, this is going to be a real hassle. You know, like, we're going to have some real problems. And I remember praying, God, you've got to help us on this. You've got to get involved. And when I started praying, you know, God, you need to get involved, I started to feel the Holy Spirit tell me, you're going to trade your car in and get a different car while you're on vacation. And I was like, that is the most bizarre thing. In fact, I don't know anybody else, maybe there are others, who went on vacation in one car and came home in a different car that was their car indefinitely. We did it. But I'm thinking, here's the process that I'm thinking. When the Lord said that, I'm immediately imagining the way that you buy a car normally. And that is, you gotta look around, you gotta do all this stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be painful. I said, Lord, I don't wanna spend the first half of our vacation or the whole thing shopping for a car. Like, I refuse to do that. Like, I don't wanna do that. I go, Lord, help me. I said, Lord, I need you to make this easy. I pray in Jesus' name, we would find the right car at the very first place we go and that we wouldn't have to look around and it would be the price that we need and everything. I just need you to bail us out on that. And so I didn't hear the Lord on anything. I just said, that's what we're going to do. So then I started looking around. Now again, we're barely making it down to San Antonio. And instead of going to our hotel or whatever, we're going to drive to a car place. Not a fix-it place. We're going to go to some place where the plan is, go there, trade in the clunker car, and leave with a different car. That's the plan, okay? And so I'm praying, oh, Lord, please don't let us have to go to two places. Plus, I don't know that the car would start again to go anywhere else. And it turned out it did have a bunch of issues, and it was old. It needed to be traded in, blah, blah, blah. So I'm looking in, whatever online, you know, things, Auto Trader or something like that, to try to figure out a place to get a car. And I've got in mind a vehicle that we could get. I was like, well, you know, what if we get one of these, Amy? What do you think? She says, okay. And I'm like, well, it's not really exactly what I want, but okay, we'll do it. It's fine. And so we go to look at this vehicle. We get to this place, and as soon as we get there, everything online about the vehicle looked good, but when we get there, previous owner was a smoker. The The interior smelled so bad. There was a lot about the interior that was messed up. It wasn't in the greatest shape. It had more miles on it than was reflected in the thing. There's just a number of things about it. I was like, Lord, this is like the exact opposite of what we said we were going to do. Remember the deal? The deal, Lord. And I was like, Amy, I don't know. And she said, well, let's ask if they've got anything else. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, do you have any other, you know, SUVs, you know, any other vehicles? And the guy said, well, we've got a Honda Element with, you know, like 89,000 miles on it. And my eyes lit up. And I looked over at Amy. And Amy knew I had always wanted a Honda Element. I'd wanted it for years. But I didn't want to force her into that situation because I knew she wasn't necessarily, that wasn't her favorite vehicle. But I always wanted one. And I looked over at her and she looked at me and went, yeah, go do it. Go look at it. I look at it. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's in great condition. It was way lower miles than the other vehicle. It was everything. It was a better price because I don't know why they just had it low price. It was a great vehicle. We got a great deal on the trade-in for this clunker that barely made it down to San Antonio. We bought this car within 15 minutes of being on the car lot. 15 minutes! We're signing the contract. We left the car lot in under 2 hours of having arrived in San Antonio. We get to San Antonio. Within 2 hours, we're driving away in my dream car. I'm so happy. It was a better price. It was a better this. It was a better that. I was like, Lord, you just saved us so much hassle. Would we still have had a getaway, a vacation? Yes. Would we still? Yes. But man, it would have been so much hassle. That was the absolute easiest process I've ever gone through in purchasing a vehicle. I couldn't believe how easy he made it. And I engaged him. I said, Lord, I know you can do this. Please save me from this trial. Help me. I want your help. Help me. Get rid of all the hassle. Make it easy. I want to encourage you guys. Pray. Make it easy prayers. And aim it at something. When there's a situation, it's like, that's going to be a real problem. Say no in Jesus' name. Lord, help that to not be a real problem. You know, make that an easier deal. All right. Now, let me give you another one. And some of you are going to have you're going to have to talk to Jesus about this. Because you're not going to like this prayer, this story. Some of you are going to love it. Okay. All right, so no JC, I'm being told. That's great. So it was just me and Amy on vacation. Okay, all right. That Honda Element lasted forever. I got 240,000 miles out of that thing. I love that Honda Element. Okay, anyway, love that car. Okay, so now, this is a bizarre one, all right? I'm 20 years old, and I'm doing youth ministry at a church here in the area. And many of you guys know that there are a number of people that are in this congregation that were part of that youth ministry back in that day. Well, one of those youth was this girl named Amy Longreer, okay? And Amy and another student were both turning 16 and needed to get their licenses. And I was 20, and I needed to get my license renewed, okay? And so I took Amy and this other youth to go get our licenses, you know, updated or renewed or whatever. Okay, they needed a new one, our first one. I needed mine renewed. Now, I get up to the DMV and to the line, and they're doing the eye test, you know, the little chart with the letters and numbers or whatever is on the back wall. And I look, and my eyes, I mean, I wear glasses now, but I didn't then. My eyes had just always kind of functioned, but not been like epic eagle eye eyesight, you know. And I'm squinting as hard as I can. And the lady's like, you know, read line whatever, 3 or whatever it is. And I go, G, G, G. And the lady goes, sir, stop right there. She goes, first of all, we never repeat a letter on a line. Second, there's not a G on that whole line. Okay, got it. And I look over at the two people I brought, Amy and this other kid, and I go, I'm going to pray now. And they look at me and go, pray now? What do you mean? And I prayed, Holy Spirit, tell me the letters. Tell me the letters that are on there right now. And I immediately saw in my mind's eye the board, not in real life. I saw it in my mind. I saw the board with the letters, but this time it was up close, and I could read it. And I out loud said whatever it was, you know, C, A, G, you know, B, D, Q. And the lady looked at me and she said, I don't believe it. I don't know how you just did that. And I said, no problem. I go, did I pass? She said, oh, you passed. I don't even know what to do with this. That's what she said right there. She was like, I have no idea how you just did that. And I passed my driver's test. So the reason that that was a big deal for me, I was in a position where there's no way I could afford glasses. There's no way I could afford to go to the eye doctor. There's no way I could afford anything. And I just prayed, Lord, I mean, if you let me pass my driver's license test, as long as my eyesight, well, then you just got to protect me on the road. I could see, I just couldn't pass the test, you know? And it's like, so I was like, well, you just have to keep everybody safe, keep me safe, and that'll be a miracle too. Now, here's where you're really going to have a hard time. 4 years later, I needed to go back to the DMV to get my license renewed again. And the Holy Spirit did the exact same thing a second time 4 years later. I couldn't read it. I said, you did it before. I still don't have any money. I still don't have the ability. Holy Spirit, save me all the hassle. Save me all the money. Just tell me and then protect me on the road. And he showed me the letters again. But this time, I couldn't read it. I mean, my eyes had not gotten any better. I didn't practice first. I just went up and said, Holy Spirit, do the thing you did before. Show me. And he did it again. And he showed me the letters that were on the driver's license, DMV, eye test or whatever. And I passed and I got it again. Now, the next time I went, I just read it and failed and had to get glasses. But that's I just can't think of a more practical way that God could get involved in our lives than helping us see, you know, letters on a board or whatever. And again, it blew that lady's mind the first time. She could not believe it. She could not handle it. All right, now the next one. Okay. So I'm at an airport. I was traveling around and I was at an airport. And I was in the men's restroom. And while I was in the men's restroom, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me so clearly, move your foot. And I looked at my right foot, and I was like, that foot, Lord? And I knew I need to move that foot. And I don't know what to do with it. But I know he said, move your foot. And I said, okay. So I moved my foot about 6 inches over. As soon as I moved my foot, this is going to blow your mind. As soon as I moved my foot, somebody came rushing into the bathroom that had probably been out partying the night before or something. They came in and threw up all over that bathroom floor. And I don't want to get graphic, but some of it wound up exactly where my foot was, but not where my foot moved to. The Holy Spirit saved me the hassle of getting yak on my toes. I mean, who wants yak on their toes? That is hassle. That has got to be level one. Maybe that's probably level three hassle. No one wants yak on their shoe. The Holy Spirit said, move your foot. I was like, okay, I'll move my foot. I moved my foot. And right after that, this guy runs in that wasn't in the bathroom before and winds up yakking right there. And it winds up getting right. If I had left my foot there, I'd have gotten yak on my foot. And I couldn't believe it. All right, well, I don't want to go into the details, but I'll just say it this way. The exact same thing, this is so mind-blowing. The exact same thing happened 5 hours later in a different airport, where the Holy Spirit said, move your foot. But let me just tell you this. It wasn't throw up, but it was other things that are not good. Let me just say it this way. I was so filled with unbelief that the Holy Spirit could tell me the same exact phrase two times in the same day and it be accurate two times in the same day, that the second time I heard the Holy Spirit say, move your foot, I didn't move my foot. And I won't go into the details, but I wish I had moved my foot. Because the exact scenario, again, I don't go into all the details. If the Holy Spirit tells you to move your foot 10 times in one day, you just start dancing, friends. You just move your feet. You just move your feet. You just move your feet. He was trying to save me hassle. But it was mind mind-blowing to me. I'd never had the Holy Spirit tell me to move my foot ever before in my life. I just had him tell me, 5 hours ago, it was real. Now it's 5 hours later, he's saying it again, and I'm just thinking, this has got to be in my head. Listen, just move your foot and deal with the whether you were right or wrong later. So anyway, crazy, crazy story. All right, here's another. Again, this is just hassle. This is just the Holy Spirit willing to help us. He's a helper. He's an ever-present helper. He wants to help us with low-level stuff and big stuff. This is just all the low-level stuff. All right, there's another time. I'm driving down the highway, and I don't remember the context of where I was. I just remember my mind was somewhere else. I was, thinking about other things. My brain was someplace else, and I didn't realize I was speeding. And I was speeding pretty bad, actually. And I'm driving, and my mind someplace else. I was probably thinking about who. I really don't know what it was. I just know that I wasn't paying attention to how fast I was going. And immediately I hear the Holy Spirit say, slow down. And I go, I slam on the brakes because I'm like, I don't know, I'm going to get into an accident. I don't know why I need to slow down, but I heard the Holy Spirit say, slow down. I slam on the brakes and slow down. And in that moment realize, oh my gosh, I was speeding pretty good. And as soon as my nose had hit the lowest point or whatever, and I started to taper out at a normal speed, I was at the speed limit, and I saw a police officer that was aiming his radar gun right at me. If I would not have slowed down that second, I'd have absolutely gotten a ticket that I deserved. I deserved the ticket. The Lord told me there's a cop. He didn't say cop. He just said slow down. I said, okay. I pushed the brake. I slowed down. I didn't get a ticket. I didn't get a ticket I probably deserved. That is so crazy to me that he would do that. That's kind of scandalous, even a little bit. Like you'd think he'd go, and now you'll get what's coming to you, speed racer, But he didn't. He said, slow down, and then I didn't get a ticket that I totally would have gotten. I'm telling you, the radar was pointed right at me. There was nobody else on the road. I was dead to rights. But because I slowed down right before this, I don't know that any of these situations are ones that are going to show up in your life, but they do tell us the reality that God even cares about the little stuff, and he's willing to help us. If we'll learn to fellowship with his Spirit, he'll help us. All right, now I'm going to share some encouragement stories. And these are just of another sort. I don't even know how to describe these. I don't know, are these all real categories of miracles? Or maybe I'm just making stuff up and calling them categories, and really it's just life in the Spirit, it's just the way that God interacts with us. I don't know. I just know these are things that God has done for me and that I believe he does, and I engage him to do. And I want to encourage you to do the same because I want you to have stories. I want you to be encouraged. I want for you to have stories where he helped you avoid hassle and where he helped make things easy that were going to be difficult. And I want you to have this. So I'm sharing these stories in part to help you. I love it when God does this, and I love praying these prayers, these ones I'm about to share. I will pray sometimes, Lord, do something cool. And I don't even have any... I don't even have any cooler words than that. Sometimes I'll say, Lord, I'm so discouraged. Encourage me right now. I just pray little things like that. Let me tell you one occasion, or a couple of them, where this happened. One day I was having a particularly hard day. There were a number of leadership things that had gone awry, and just things weren't working out. And I was discouraged. I mean, I wasn't going to die, but I was discouraged. And I was kind of moaning to the Lord. I was like, Lord, I hate all this. Help me. I didn't even pray fix the problem because there was some of it that just needed to get worked out and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't one of those moments. I just prayed. I said, Lord, would you just do something cool today to help me? Just do something cool to help me out. I'll just do it to you. Do something cool. Within a few seconds of that prayer, my phone rings. And I get the phone call, and it's my dad. And this is seconds after I prayed, Lord, do something cool. Okay? It's seconds after. He calls and he says, hey, listen, I'm calling because I just found something pretty interesting that I wanted to tell you about. I go, okay. He said, I just found all those old savings bonds that you had been given as a child that were 10-year, 15-year, 5-year maturity bonds. That at that point, they equal, the amount that's written on the note. If you guys don't know how that works, kind of a weird concept. I don't know if they still do them. Maybe they still do. But something that was kind of a thing to do back in the 80s and 90s was grandparents get their grandchild a savings bond. And the way that that would work is they would buy a piece of paper that was called a savings bond, and they would buy the paper for, let's say, $25. But the paper was for $50. But it wouldn't reach $50. It wouldn't become worth $50 for 5 or 10 or 15 years or something like that. I know it's kind of a weird concept, but my relatives did that all the time. Like, that was kind of the thing to do for my birthday is don't give me money. Don't give me something I can actually use. Give me a savings bond that then's going to be put in a you know, P.O. box or something somewhere, you know, a savings deposit box or whatever. And so it's like, he said he found them. He said, Brad, there's a bunch of them in here for $25 and $50, one or two for $100. He said, but the way that these savings bonds work is once they reach their point of maturity, they keep increasing in value. Now, it's not at the rate, but they keep increasing in value over time. He said, these are all 20 years old or older. He said, there's hundreds of dollars here. He said, these are all from like when you were a kid, like we just found these in an old, you know, whatever box, shoebox, whatever. And so we found all these, they're worth hundreds of dollars. And I said, there's no way. I didn't tell him because it wouldn't have necessarily worked that way. Wouldn't have appreciated that necessarily. But I was like, wow, that's really cool. He's like, so how do I get these to you? I was like, well, let's figure it out. It was hundreds of dollars. I just got done praying, God, I'm discouraged. Help me. It wasn't even so much the money. I mean, somebody could have given me a check for $500. I don't remember how much all these bonds were worth total, but however much it was worth, like, it wasn't even about the money. It was about, you've been working on this story since I was five. Like, how in the world? I remember being 7, 8, 10 years old and thinking, man, that's a dumb gift. I wish they wouldn't get that. I wish they'd give me something real. And here I am now, 20 years later, I'm like, this is the coolest gift ever. I was so blown away. But the timing of it, Lord, do something cool. Help me. Do something cool. It was massively encouraging. It was so encouraging. All right, here's another one. This one, if you call me a liar and you don't believe me, I don't blame you because this is bizarre, right? I'm on my way home from Africa. You guys, I told you a little bit about that. I spent some time over there. The Lord made it clear, come home. I'm coming home, and I'm not happy about it. I'm obedient, but I am not happy. I am mad. I'm sad. I feel like I'm abandoning my post. The Lord set some things up in Africa. I feel like I'm just leaving what the work that had gotten started. I have all sorts of negative emotions. And then I have 2 days worth of flights through international airports. I can't communicate with anybody. Sleepless nights. I can't sleep on a plane. I've always had such a hard time with that. I just can't. So I'm not sleeping. I mean, I don't have any money, so I'm navigating, trying to come home without finances. And it's just bad. I'm just sad and just tired. And I'm, you know, yeah. I wind up at LaGuardia Airport in New York City at 2 a.m. And I'd landed at JFK, and I had to get a taxi in the middle of the night to get over to LaGuardia at whatever time. And now it's 2 a.m. I'm at LaGuardia Airport, and I'm sad. I'm so tired. I'm so discouraged. I can't even believe all the boo. And I get to my gate. I've got now 6 hours of layover. And all this there's no chairs in this area of the airport. LaGuardia is an interesting little airport. There's no chairs in this area. All there are is tile floors that are cold. And I'm like, I'm just going to sleep on this tile floor, sort of, I guess. I'm so exhausted. And I said, Lord, I really need you to encourage me right now. I need you right now. Like, I just need you to do something because I am, like, mad and sad and I'm so tired. And I just need you to, like, be in my corner and be like, you're my guy, Brad. I just need you right now. I don't even know what I'm asking for. I need you to encourage me right now because I am not in a good place emotionally. A few minutes later, it's after 2 a.m. 2 a.m. A few minutes later, a plane arrives at the gate that I'm waiting at. Now, again, my flight's 6 hours later, okay? So I got to wait on this cold floor for 6 hours. But a few minutes later, a plane arrives at the gate, and people are getting off the plane, and I mean, that's what happens at gates. People get off planes. What doesn't normally happen is 3 minutes or five after you prayed, Lord, encourage me, for one of your friends at 2 a.m. to get off the plane at the gate you are at, who doesn't know you're coming back from Africa, and who finds that out by finding you at the gate in LaGuardia at 2 a.m. a few minutes after I said, Lord, encourage me, my friend Krill Thomas gets off the plane, looks at me, and goes, oh, hey, B-Rad, so I guess you're back from Africa, huh? Cool. Yeah, I'm in New York for a soccer tournament. You're in New York City to play soccer. Who goes to New York City to play soccer? Who goes at 2 a.m. and goes to the exact gate at the exact time that I'm there traveling back from Africa? This is going to be my last flight to land here in Dallas. Do you know how many flights go in and out of, let's say, New York City in a day? I mean, 100, 200 to all the different airports, of all the airports, of all the times, of all the days, of all of this. This guy's getting off the plane 5 minutes after I am massively encouraged. I can't even believe that God cares that much about me to line up those details, that here I am in this situation, and now, like, I actually had to tell him, hey, don't tell anybody that I'm home, because he was the first to know, because nobody else knew I was home. Like, it was so bizarre. I couldn't believe that the Lord cared that much. The way that the Lord can write the storyline is unbelievable. I've got one last story, and we'll end for today. I was moving up towards, this was a recent one, I was moving up towards my 39th birthday, which was just recently, February. And the day of my birthday, I got up that morning, and I just said, Lord, and I've never prayed this before that I can remember. I've never prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, today's my birthday. I want a birthday present from you. I want one from you. I don't care if anybody else gets me anything. I just want you to know, you see me, you're listening. I want a birthday present. I want something, and I specifically prayed it this way. I want something that only you could give me, that nobody else could give. So it's not like if somebody gives me a this or gives me that. I want you to give me something today. I just want to be encouraged. You're the God of all encouragement. You're the God who gives encouragement. I want you to encourage me today. Do something that I'll know is from you. Now, a few hours later, I get a text message from Alan Hood. Alan Hood had previously been the associate director, assistant director at IHOP Kansas City. He'd been the president of the student body at IHOP U. He'd been very connected up there. Now, a couple of details that matter here. I'd been trying through Alan's assistant for 10 years. 10 years. I'd been trying through Alan's assistant to get Alan to come and minister at the prayer room for a conference or a weekend or a this or a that. And Alan, for 10 years, has been saying, yeah, let's do it. Let's figure it out. But we had the wildest reasons. I mean, I don't want to go into them right now, but there were reasons you just look at and go, man, there was a lot stacked against you guys when you look at all the details of why that didn't work for 10 years. This got canceled. This happened. It became illegal for a season for him to come for different reasons. I mean, it was like there were all these crazy things that were going on. And so it's really weird that now on my birthday, he doesn't know it's my birthday. He doesn't have my phone number. We've never communicated via phone. It had always been me talking to his assistant and his assistant talking to him. He texts me on my birthday and says, hey, Brad, this is Alan Hood. I just wanted to let you know, this, this, and this, and I'd love to be able to minister. I'm going to be in town, da, 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 da. And it wound up equaling that he came and ministered. You guys remember, he came here to FF, and he preached on Psalm 139, and he came to TPR. Our leadership team at TPR actually got to go to Six Flags and hang out with him and his son and, like, have the most fun day ever. All of that flowed out of him texting me on my birthday, something I've been trying to make happen for a decade that the Lord just gave me in a moment. And I just prayed, Lord, today's my birthday. I want a birthday present from you. Here's the application. It's not about avoiding tickets and getting Alan Hood to come preach. All of these stories are about the reality of God, the realness, that he's willing to help us in our day-to-day lives. He's miraculous. He's real. And he wants to engage us. He's an encourager. He cares about us in our times of trouble. He's an ever-present helper. I think so many of the reasons that we don't have these kinds of stories is we don't know to believe these attributes about him. So we don't engage him these ways. And what's just, it's befuddling. How many ways God would interact with us if we would interact with him the ways the word says that we can. But he doesn't interact with us in those ways because we don't approach him in those ways. It's kind of a little concerning, actually. But at the same time, it's also an invitation that we would be people that know the word. It's people that would actually believe the Bible and go, you're an ever-present helper. I need help right now. I need help in my mental state. I need help in my body. I need help in my relationship. I need help. You're a God that encourages. I'm discouraged. They're discouraged. We're discouraged. God, encourage us. Like, the Lord is ever-present, and he's ever-able, and he's a helper, and he likes us, and we're his children. I want to encourage you, go after stories. And here's really, I need the most practical answer of what I do about this. Ask him to get involved in your circumstance. What circumstance? All of them. Any circumstance. Driving down the road, in a conversation, into this, into that. Ask him to help you, and then you'll start to learn those little moments where there's like grace, where he's like saying yes with a big Y yes. I just want to encourage you guys, let's get some stories of interaction with the God who is supernatural, who loves us so much.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.